Hi, I'm Dana Stevens, Slate's movie critic, and I'm here with a Slate spoiler special on Pirates of the Caribbean 3 at World's End. And I'm here talking with Slate contributing writer Brian Curtis. Hello, Brian.
Hi, Dana.
And we sat through all 168 minutes of Pirates 3 the other night.
Oh, boy, did we.
Staggered out. We actually cut out the closing credits, which I later learned was a mistake because there's a spoiler at the end of the credits.
Oh, no.
We'll talk about later. But let's just jump in medias res. I'm not even going to make you try to summarize the story of this incredibly long and utterly incomprehensible movie. Let's just start spoiling.
Okay. So I think one of the things we should sort of get straight for everybody is who is alive in this movie and who is dead, because that was sort of a big question right at the cliffhanger at the end of the second movie. So Johnny Depp, Captain Jack Sparrow, is alive. We saw him swallowed by this Gorgon-like creature from the deep at the end of the second movie. But it turns out he is sort of alive in this purgatory.
Yeah, my question was going to be, after we talk about who's alive and who's dead, is what is it to be alive and be dead in the pirate's world?
Ooh,
because the sort of status, the metaphysical status, or what you call it, ontological, physical status of Johnny Depp's character at the beginning of the movie is completely unclear to me. He's actually on this island that's called Davy Jones Locker, ultimately,
right.
And sometimes it's called the Land of the Dead, right?
Right.
Which, to your surprise, you expect in the world of Pirates of the Caribbean art direction, where everything's very gloomy and heavy and baroque and dripping with barnacles and whatnot, that he's going to be underwater in some scary place. In fact, he's on this beautiful white tropical island.
Yes.
All alone.
Barren island, we should say, without trees or anything like that,
right?
If memory serves. The big white sand.
So it looks a little bit like the white space in The Matrix. He sort of
seems
to be in some sort of weird zone that's sort of neither here nor there. I mean, I would argue that he's actually dead at the beginning of the movie, but then...
Okay.
But then
the film is very washed out. It's always very, it's very different, as you say, in a color scheme from the palette from the
and
rest.
And he's
of
in
the
a
movie.
Freaky headspace, that's for sure. What's he doing when we first see him?
He is talking to other Captain Jack Sparrows.
Yeah, he's in a being John Malkovich kind of
sort
headspace.
Of, yeah, right. He's, right. But I guess at that point, then the characters come to rescue him from this space, and he is rendered alive.
Right.
So we think, for the rest of the movie. And we should mention that one of those characters that comes to rescue him is Jeffrey Rush, playing this pirate named Barbossa, who was dead at the end of the first movie, then was brought back to life by this sorceress lady at the end of the second movie, just for 5 seconds at the end of the movie, and is now totally alive, apparently, for Pirates 3.
Right.
Am I getting that right?
Yeah, I mean, I can't help it here. I just have to jump in before we even tick down any more dead and alive characters and just say, so what is the deal with being dead in this universe? I mean, I can't help it. The reader of myth in me is completely bothered by this, because the idea is supposed to be, if you go to a place called the Land of the Dead at the other end of the world to save someone from being dead and bring them back to life, you have to go through some kind of mission or struggle or at least magic spell. It just seemed very odd to me that essentially if you just get in a boat and go to this place, you can grab the person back from the dead. I mean, what's going on?
Right,
you
can't keep a good pirate down.
And Barbossa's death seems reversible just by the voodoo witch saying, like, hey, could you be alive again? Do you mind?
Right, right. That's true. And also I would add that Davy Jones, who is the big villain in the last two movies, seems to be sort of unkillable in a way. Like, you have to stab him in the heart to kill him, but if you kill him by conventional means, he's just fine.
That seems to be true of all the cursed, right? That was true of the cursed skeleton pirates in the first film. And it's true of the fish gang, the Flying Dutchman gang in the second film. There's these groups of people that are cursed and thus unkillable.
Right.
Which to me, I mean, if you're really going to be a stickler about the logic, makes the fight scenes, the battle scenes with these creatures completely uninteresting. I mean, they're stabbing someone who can't die.
It's slightly unsatisfying if one of the people in a great sword fight can't actually be killed.
That's something that occasionally comes up in the pirates in the lore as well. Like, there's a moment, I believe, in the first movie where it's got to be the first movie because Barbossa's alive. Barbossa gets out a gun to prove that the curse has not been lifted yet and shoots one of the guys. It's one of the two comic dudes. You know, there's Mackenzie Crook, the very skinny, sort of funny pirate, and then there's like his squat friend. And the squat guy gets shot in the chest and looks around and says, oh, I'm still alive. Avast, the curse has not yet been lifted.
Right.
I mean, that one moment alone would seem to zero out a lot of the suspense of the entire franchise. But all right, moving along.
So fair enough to say that the pirate, any dead pirate, you should be very suspicious seeing this movie if any pirate is actually killed, because he will most likely be alive in the next reel.
Right. Cliffhangers are not exactly, I mean, it makes the cliffhangers sort of fun. It's like one of those old Hollywood serials where they almost, would forget whether a character was dead or alive at the end of the last
clip. Sort of bring him back, sort of if necessary. Should we say what happens at the end of this movie? Because the plot of this is almost incomprehensible. I think if we just explain what happened in this movie, we'd be here for another 2 hours. So should we just say what happens at the end, kind of spoil the end of the movie?
Yeah, as long as we're spoiling. There's quite a few things to spoil at the end of the movie.
So the two main killable characters, Jack and Elizabeth, played by Orlando.
I like that category.
And Keira Knightley, yes, that category. They turn out to get married at the end of the movie on a pirate ship under sort of strange circumstances. And then Jack has to, by sort of complicated means, has to take over for Davy Jones as this kind of River Styx pirate guy who transports all the dead people back to this purgatory land that we referred to earlier. And in the process, his heart is cut out of him. And he has to do this for...
Wait, you're talking about Will Turner, Orlando Bloom's character, not Jack.
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah, Will Turner, yes. And he's in the killable category. But in fact, not, because they cut his heart out, and then they have to put him, and then he becomes Davy Jones, transporting these dead
souls. Essentially what happens to Will at the end is that he joins the cursed and ghostly pirate gang in some way. He stops being this mortal guy that could actually spend a normal life with Keira Knightley's character and becomes a guy on the cursed ship.
Right.
And to me, once again, I start to frantically ask, is he alive? Is he dead? What's the situation?
And
why does he
know.
Not at least look worse? When we see him pop up out of the ocean, his heart has been cut out. He's taken over the crew of the haunted ship. Everybody else in the ship looks like crap and is covered in barnacles, but he's Orlando Bloom, so he has to remain, except for his jagged chest scar, just sort of his manly, rosy self.
Right. Barbossa, the pirate played by Jeffrey Rush, ends up the movie alive and well, sailing off on the Black Pearl to find the Fountain of Youth, if I remember correctly. But then Jack Sparrow, Johnny Depp's character, it turns out through his usual chicanery, has cut out the key part of the map to the Fountain of Youth and is sailing off himself to find it on a slightly smaller ship, like a little dinghy or something.
Right.
Sailing off into the sunset. So that's what happens to the two of them.
Which to me is virtually a guarantee. Do you agree that there's going to be a fourth movie? I mean, this is sort of posing itself as the end of the trilogy. It was filmed simultaneously with the second movie, which, you know, would give it this sort of Lord of the Rings, like the circle has come, has been completed sort of feel. But between the fact that there's two competing groups sailing off to find the Fountain of Youth and the end of credit spoiler, which I will now tell you about, which I know about only from reading secondary materials on the movie. Apparently, after the no doubt eternal credit sequence that we just could not stomach after nearly 3 hours in the movies, plus the fact the screening started late, we were exhausted, we left during the credit sequence, but apparently at the end of the credits, we pop back and we see that it's 10 years later. If you remember, a curse has been placed on Will Turner. His heart's been cut out of his body, etc. He's taken over the crew of the Flying Dutchman, and he can only see his beloved Elizabeth, Keira Knightley, every 10 years.
Right.
So apparently we cut forward 10 years in time, and he's seeing her for the second time, and they now have a 10-year-old son who's also named Turner.
First time might have been quite a lot of magic.
Yeah, quite a night. So he was missing a heart, but he something was in the
right
place.
Right.
So there's another Will Turner, a young Will Turner who's 10 years old. Now, given that the first movie began with a child Will Turner being rescued from a pirate ship, I just can't believe that these aren't just major hammer on the head kind of hints that they're looking to make another movie. And if this one cleans up at the box office as it should, I wouldn't be surprised if they've already got, you know, something going on.
If you're stuck in the afterlife for 10 years, does that make you a deadbeat dad? I'm just sort of wondering.
Because
it seems like sort of Elizabeth is sort of on her own, isn't it? I mean, you know, that's sort of inconvenient. I didn't really realize the whole baby thing. Wow.
That would be a great subplot for the fourth movie if there is one, where she's chewing him out. Where the hell have you been for his piano recital?
Right. You missed every ball game, every piano recital, right? Shipping these souls
now
back
you come
to purgatory.
Back with your treasure and your loot, and you want to win his heart.
I see you once every 10 years, and you have to make up for lost time. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of pressure on.
Maybe that'll be the title, Pirates of the Caribbean 4, Deadbeat Dad.
Yeah, Deadbeat Dad. I like that. That's really good.
Heartless Dad.
Yeah, there you go. And the Gorgon, we should mention, that big beastie thing.
That yeah, I thought from that creature was called the Kraken or something.
Oh, the Kraken.
Like
whoops, I keep calling it. I'm mixing up mythology here. But the Kraken is dead. They find him sort of in a weird side note.
The giant sea
on the
beast
beach.
That ate Johnny Depp at the end of the last
right.
one. Why is he
in
dead?
In this movie, they find him on the beach dead. I think that Davy Jones, who we might also mention, also dies in this movie. Davy Jones was ordered to kill him by those weird, evil British guys.
Right.
Whom I don't even want to talk about their fates because I don't even understand. I couldn't even tell them apart beyond the wigs, you know. I
mean, you really lose track of their motives. They're just sort of the general meanies, and whatever there is to be mean about is assigned to the British dudes in powdered wigs.
Right. It was sort of mentioned there was a great scene in this where the pirates are sort of ruining the day that the British East India Company was taking over their waters and everything, you know, sort of nod to reality in the whole series that was not
well, I mean, there's sort of a, you know, it's a very quickly aborted, but there's a little bit, I think, of a Bush reference or some sort of current events reference in the early scenes where you have the corporate entity, the British East India Company, declaring essentially martial law in Britain and hanging all the pirates. I mean, there's a little bit of a sense, I think, that the pirates are the subversives, you know, the revolutionaries, the hope for society or whatever, but it's all very quickly lost in the vast the vast ocean of plot details. That
pick your metaphor. So should we meet back for here for Pirates 4 when we can sort all this out and find out what happens to our beloved heroes then?
Pirates 4, Beyond World's End.
Beyond World's End. Pirates 4, Deadbeat Dad. Okay.
All right. Well, thanks for joining me, Brian, for this spoiler special.
Thank you, Dana.
And for Slate.com, I'm Dana Stevens.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.